Today, according to the church calendar, it is the day of the Transfiguration. Transfiguration refers to a change in form or appearance. I mean, you look at today, this was not like that a couple of days ago. There are people who come here every week before Sunday to transform this place for us so that we can worship, because we can't worship at our normal sanctuary. When you get up, maybe you transform yourself. I have no idea. We do many transformations along the way. So transfiguration is a specific form of transformation. We are constantly transforming, changing clothes, hairstyle. Maybe I haven't done that much. And those are transformations. During the season of Lent, we discipline or transform ourselves into more spiritual or more spiritually aware followers of Jesus. The idea is for us to stick to some of these changes, not just for the 40 days. I remember I was talking to someone yesterday. They decided to fast chocolate for 40 days. And I asked him, after 40 days, will you continue? And he said, unlikely. So what kind of transformation are we talking about? Are we talking about just for a season of change? Or are we talking about something that are more helpful and more permanent? Today's story tells us about Jesus taking three of his close friends up the mountain. They had a shared experience of seeing Jesus standing between two of the graves. Now, this is the only story in the whole Bible that actually talks about how Jesus was transformed totally before their eyes. The story of Transfiguration tells of the moment that Peter, James, and John perceived Jesus in a new way. No longer did they see him as the man from Nazareth. At that moment, they see him as filled to overflow with divine glory. He is not simply the son of Joseph. He is now the divinely chosen, God-anointed, beloved son. The disciples feel intensely close to the heavenly realm, to stand in the presence of God. Just imagine if you were there on that day at the mountaintop and actually saw Jesus and experienced that. Wow. What an experience. Now this key mountaintop moment contains the words from heaven about Jesus. God spoke these words. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Same words spoken when Jesus was baptized at the river Jordan. And forward a few final scenes to the crucifixion, which is not far for us, but Easter is just around the corner. When a centurion, remember the story? A centurion declared, truly, this man was God's son. Jesus, the Son of God. That is key. That is fundamental. This foundational statement, recognized that Jesus as the Son of God, is reiterated on a few other occasions as well. The words of the disciples spoke of him at the boat. Two men possessed by demons recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. The tempter at the In the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted, he too recognized Jesus as the Son of God. And Peter declares in a very pivotal scene that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. When I look at this passage, why did God chose this particular way of expression? And I believe there are multiple reasons. First, as I already mentioned, God wants to affirm that this person, Jesus, is my beloved Son. That is important. Then it is for the benefit of the three disciples. I believe having experienced that mountaintop experience, their perception of Christ would have changed. And they have shown through some of the writings and the letters they wrote about Jesus later on. And I believe it is for us as well. For all of us, 2,000 odd years after Jesus, this story is as much for us as it was for the people there. Well, what can we draw from this particular very powerful, phenomenal, supernatural incident? First, I believe that it is challenging us to live a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life. I'm advocating here a Christ-centered life means declaring that Jesus is our Messiah. It's your Messiah, it's my Messiah. The Son of the living God. We need to acknowledge and accept that and proclaim that. And reflecting Jesus as Lord in each of our lives. Not just through words. And also sharing that with Jesus. And we talk about that from time to time at St. Luke's here. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Jesus, the Son of God, is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You and I can't do it alone. But through Christ, through His righteousness, we can. God said, "This is my Son, whom I love." What else? Listen to Him. Listen to Him. That's important. Don't just take the first part. What it tells us to do is to listen to Jesus. Are our thoughts of Christ too small sometimes? Just say, "Jesus, show me yourself, and I want to know you, Jesus, more and better." The second lesson we may draw from this story is that about being changed, transformed, transfigured, or other words you may choose to use. The story is about being changed, about being transformed. And that's what happened to Jesus at that mountaintop. Mark says that Jesus was transformed at that moment. His clothes became dazzling white. Well, in a sense, Jesus never changed. He's always been like that. It's just that we have never seen Him that way. He doesn't need to improve like sometimes we need to improve ourselves. He doesn't get worse like sometimes we become worse than we are supposed to be. He's the same. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That transfiguration is more for His disciples to see and also for us to learn. And Peter, James, and John, I believe, were transformed on that day. Such supernatural encounter leaves an indelible mark in every person. You may have your own mountaintop experience. I have no idea what might that be. And some of those mountaintop experiences might have changed your life completely because God has touched you. That moment on that mountain was a challenge to each one of them, the three disciples particularly. But Jesus also, with this affirmation and what he was about to do. The response that Peter gave is seen to be quite inadequate. Jesus challenged Peter and us as well to respond differently to what might have been our responses. And these disciples did change, yes, but it took some time for them to realize the change that has taken place. They ultimately became leaders among the followers of Jesus, spearheading the movement that became the church. What about our church here at St. Luke's? We are challenged. We are looking at how we may tweak or rework of some of the things so that we can become better. Better understand our mission, our focus. Engage in the mission work that you and I need to do in the community. And the priorities of our church here at St. Luke's. How might we grow fresh expression of our faith here? Nurture new communities of interest. How we may foster faith among people, both outside this building as well as inside and outside our circles. It's an ongoing process. And that's why making a difference is an ongoing process. The third point we can draw is that Peter speaks when he should listen more. Sometimes Peter does that. He kind of, you know, very impulsive person, and he kind of, you know, blurt things out without really thinking too much about it. Well, give him credit. He was afraid. You know, who wouldn't be when you see Jesus transform in such a way? So he's basically saying that, why can't we just build some tents up here? Hey, this is great. We can stay up here forever. Forget about the people down the mountain, you know. They can take care of themselves. We can just stay up here and that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? In verse 4, Peter says, it's really good for us to be up here with the two greats of the past. Then Jesus says, what are you thinking, Peter? Our job, our purpose is not to stay up here in lovely tents to be worshipped by or to worship. Peter did not know what he was saying. How about us? Sometimes we may not know what we are saying either. We need more clarity. We need more greater understanding and insight. Jesus has a mission, and it's not about staying up the mountain, though it might have sounded very nice, but that's not the reason. And the last piece, I think, is very pivotal. However pleasant this mountaintop experience, it is still temporary. We can seek our mountaintop experience. Someone shared yesterday that a young person said, oh, every time I go to church camp, youth camp, I have such a mountaintop experience. And I don't want to leave the camp because it's just so fun and so good. Have you ever experienced that in yourself, church camp, youth camps, whatever? Wow, fantastic. But the reality that they will come to an end and we will have to get on with other things in life. We may seek them, we may yearn for them, but just don't live in them. Well, we read the story. It's over now. In verse 7 and 8, Jesus come and touched them and say, get up, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw nobody else. Elijah is gone. Moses is gone. The clouds are gone. Everything gone. Leaving just Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He touched people and He assured people. He touched your life, my life, assured us, and we need to get on. Jesus drives away fears. Perfect love drives out fear. So when they look up, there's only Jesus. Jesus only. Moses no longer appearing. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. That's why the presence of Jesus. Elijah is gone. Why? Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so, Elijah's work is done. Now, all the Moses and Elijah, what they represent, now is embodied into one person. Jesus Christ Himself. All that is now left is Jesus. The embodiment of both the law and the prophets. We have Christ, and that's all we need. Even the bright clouds gone, and we don't need bright clouds anymore. Not bad, outside. I pray for this, that you and I would feel Jesus touching us today and every other day. Experience the touch of Jesus, of His assurance. Let me draw to a conclusion. What were some of your mountaintop experiences? I'd love to hear some of those stories you may have. Your mountaintop experiences. I'm sure they're filled with richness and so on. Was it when you first realized that you needed Jesus? Was it when you invited Him as Lord, as Savior? Was it when you were baptized? Was it when you encountered the Holy Spirit and being filled and touched by the Holy Spirit? Was it a memorable situation that happened somewhere along your faith journey? Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we need these mountaintop experiences. But they all will pass away. Like the clouds, like Moses, like Elijah. Then what's left is Jesus only. We need to hear only Jesus. And we need to see only Jesus. That's what the disciples saw on that day. Is Jesus only in love for you? Getting Jesus is getting everything. Amen.